When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Hey everyone, Mr. Devil here, Kenny Danico, three-time Stanley Cup champion of the New Jersey Devils, and you're listening to the Uncle Pucker's New Jersey Devils podcast with Chris, Dan, Bobby, and Tony. The Uncle Puckers. Let's go, Devils!
Hey, guys. What's up? Thanks for checking us out. We are the Uncle Puckers, Chris and Tony, with you this fine Sunday morning. Well, it's not Sunday morning where you are. It's 2 o'clock in the afternoon, Tony.
Do you notice something about my background that you see that you never see on our show? The fucking sunshine. It is 2 o'clock in the afternoon here, and it's Mother's Day in Lithuania today. So to the wife. She got a new car yesterday. She's very happy. It was not from me, basically, but she did get a new vehicle, so my wife's in a good mood.
Very cool.
Things are going okay.
What did she buy?
2024 X-Trail Nissan.
Okay.
Seven seats. That was what she wanted because of the kids. We have so much. It's like a traveling circus when we go anyplace. So.
Is that a car that they sell in America?
I think so, yeah. I believe so. Yeah.
Very cool.
Yes. So how are you doing, man? Have I talked to you since the draft? I don't know if I've talked to you. I haven't been on the show since the draft.
No, we haven't talked since the draft. So
I got to congratulate you, man. You guys in the Bears probably had the two best. J.J. McCarthy, obviously, you know, as a pimp. So you guys, I'd be excited.
Yeah, I am excited. And I was watching his, press interview when he first came out and he was introduced in the media and stuff. And the kid is just, you know, he's made of the right stuff. You know, there are certain guys that are just winners, that they will do whatever it takes. And this guy's never lost. He's won, I think, two state championships in high school, a national championship. And, I know the NFL is a different animal, but I'm just saying, like, that makeup that he has, like, he does have that. And I like that, where my old quarterback, he didn't have that. And
Atlanta, I think, felt the same, so.
Yeah, I think they had buyer's remorse after they
those fuckers
$1 million. But it really screwed you.
Yeah,
it was screwed because from what I heard, and I'm not sure if this is accurate, but I did read that Sean Payton, after the Giants took Malik Nabers, and we knew that they weren't going to take a quarterback, that Sean Payton, who I can't stand, the guy's a scumbag, but he called up the Vikings and the Raiders, and he said, "All right, we're probably the only three teams here that are looking for quarterbacks. Who do you guys like?" And Vikings said, "We like McCarthy." And you guys said, "We like Penix." And they said, "Okay, well, we like Bo Nix. So let's just stand pat and everybody gets their guy. And let's not try and screw anybody over." And then Atlanta went and took Michael Penix and blew the whole thing up anyway.
Yeah. I mean, I'm excited about Bowers. I just didn't expect it. You know, I think he was like one of the three to five in prospects of the draft they were thinking. You know, I mean, he went 13. I mean, it just didn't expect that, you know. But I like Michael Mayers that we have too, so I think those two together are going to be a nice tandem. What do you guys think about Dallas Turner?
I think Dallas Turner is, you know, consensus one of the best defensemen on this draft. I mean, he was one of the top linemen coming out. I mean, edge rushers, rather. And I can't wait to see him. I mean, I think he'll probably be a little bit more situational in the first year. You know, they're not going to put him in because we just signed Jonathan Grenard and Andrew Van Ginkle. So to make up for Danielle Hunter going to Houston, but I do think that there's a world where you're going to see Grenard, Van Ginkle, and Turner all on the field, and that's going to give offenses fits. So I think he'll be really good, but we'll see. And I think Brock Bowers is a stud. I think you guys have a diamond in the rough there.
Yeah, I'm excited to watch him play. I think, like I said, I think Chicago and you guys, I know you guys picked up a cornerback from Oregon too. And I,
he's,
you know,
a bit crazy.
Kyrie Jackson. Yeah.
Yeah. He's a little bit out there. He was, did you hear his interview at all?
I did not. No.
So he was he took off football. He's 25. So he's older, but he took football off for 2 years. So he doesn't have a 25-year-old football body, but he has, he was talking about like why they, you know, because he took off of football and stuff, and people were asking like, why did he do it? Why did he come? He goes, well, I was working as a deli slicer at a grocery store, and I got employee of the month. He goes, and I just figured that that was my lot in life, and I was just gonna work in a deli my whole life. Like, that's kind of good that you went back to football, dude.
Did you ever get employee of the month? Because I never got employee of the month. I'll be honest.
I worked in an Acme for about, I don't know, 3 months as a deli meat slicer. No, I didn't get employee of the month. Yeah, if anything, I was more Mickey Rourke in the wrestler than I was employee of the month. I hated it. It was a god awful job.
Yeah, but I think, you know, I talking about like the worst job I ever think I had was I worked at one of those jewelry channels, you know, where people call up and they like, and it was, it was a total scam, though. It was awful. Like, basically, like, all the old people spending all their money on these gems and stuff. But that was, dude, that was the worst fucking job. But I never got employee of the month anywhere.
No, I never did either. I've even owned my own places and haven't gotten employee of the month, so.
Got fired 3 times at your own place.
Exactly. Oh, man, I can't believe it's 7 a.m. here on the East Coast in Jersey, and I got to be at work in an hour and a half. This sucks.
This is the real life, man. This is the... We can't take 2 years off.
You know
off
what it is? You are constantly like changing your schedule to do this show, whether it's staying up late or waking up super early. So, you know, I thought it was only fair that I woke up a little early on a school day. Yeah. So let's talk some hockey, Tony.
Yes. What a night last night, huh? What a night for some and what a recurring nightmare for others.
Yeah, and it was almost a recurring nightmare for Boston. And I was on this show with Dan, I think, last week, and I was just MF in Toronto when they were down 3-1. I was like, this is a team of frauds. I was going off on Marner. I was like, you know, these guys are just not clutch. I still think Marner's garbage in the playoffs. But man, they came back. Boston looked really scared those last games, 5 and 6. And then last night was – I'm – dude, my hottest take, and it's not that hot, when it comes to the playoffs, the first round, like if you do not have elite goaltending, you are going home. Because this first round has had some of the best goaltending that I have ever seen. And I was just watching that game last night going, please give me Swayman and Bobrovsky in round two.
And I have a question for you, Chris. You say that. And I remember all of us wanted Hellebuck, right? We all were like very big Hellebuck. We all want him on the Devils. He's a guy too in the playoffs. The last two seasons, I was thinking about that earlier today. That, you know, you speak of the goalies, and he had some issues, man, in the last two seasons. And you watch a guy like look at Aiden Hill turn it on in Game 6 the other night, which we can get to that game too eventually. This is the time that these guys do this.
Look, Connor Hellebuck in the regular season, he had 37 wins. He had a 9.21 save percentage and a 2.39 goals against average. That was the season with 37 wins, which I think led the league in wins. He played 5 games in the playoffs. He was 1-4. His save percentage was .864 as opposed to .921 in the regular season. And his goals against in the regular season was 2.39. In those 5 playoff games was 5.23. I think he let in 24 goals to Colorado. And I would say, you know, he got blown up. And he came out in an interview yesterday saying that he didn't think he played bad. They just didn't have any help or whatever. I don't know about that because
I can tell you one thing. Hellebuck did not get employee of the month.
No, he didn't. But I'll tell you who, maybe even Soros, you know, he played really good. But again, you know, he has a really bad winning percentage in the playoffs.
I mean, and if you're Boston, like, I was last night, I'm sitting there and I'm watching Swayman play, and I'm just, could you have these two goalies that any team would love to have one of these guys. I mean, and you know, Swayman just, I don't know. I mean, it's just amazing how you can have these two guys on your team and we can't even, you know, we had trouble getting someone solid in there. You know, I mean, it's really impressive. And Boston is not as good as they, I will say this, Boston is definitely not as good as they were last year. You have a lot of guys playing center who would probably be maybe third line on some other teams, right? But
oh, yeah. I was blown away when they said in the game last night, I had no idea. Pavel Zacha has never scored a playoff goal.
I think he had, what, two assists only on this one, I want to say?
He just had the two assists. They didn't score a lot of goals, so, but I think that they're going to get routed in the next round.
I think that, so with this whole series in general, like, you got to, like, Pastrnak didn't even, last night he showed up. He did what you have to do, beautiful goal. He got called out by Montgomery this week, if you remember that.
No, I didn't. What did Montgomery say?
Just that he needs more, basically, from Pastrnak. This is what he needed. And I mean, obviously, you know, we all kind of saw that last night. You had, with the whole Toronto thing, they basically like played a lot of shitty games this series. Like, I mean, at the end, and what's crazy is they start playing when Matthews is out, right? That's kind of like the crazy thing about it. He's not playing at 100%. Obviously, he's missing games. So it's, you know, the power play was absolutely awful. I think it was like they had like one goal out of like 22 attempts or some shit like that. You know, I mean, could they have won the series? Yeah, we were talking about that yesterday, me and you. I was like, I wonder if they can just put enough energy to steal this series with this last night. But no, man, Swayman was pretty amazing. You know, Boston, like I said, I think they're going to get routed also next series. But I think Toronto's going to have a lot of shit happening now, because how could you not change stuff up? I mean, I was looking at something really fast, Chris, last night that I thought, so it's a 7 straight loss, okay, for Toronto in 7 games. 2013 at Boston, okay, they lost in game 7. 2000 elimination games, I'll say. 2018 at Boston in game 7. 2019 at Boston in game 7. These are all losses. 2020 versus Columbus in 5 games. And then 2021 versus Montreal, they lost in 7. 2022 versus Tampa, we all remember that, they lost in 7. And then 2024, after last night. I mean, they have lost all the elimination games. Didn't they
lose to Carolina 2 years ago in 7?
I don't believe it was in 7, no. These were all elimination games for the last 7. Okay.
But yeah, I mean, Boston is a completely different team in the playoffs than they are in the regular season. And I don't know why, because I get that Toronto, after the first 3 games, switched it up, really 4 games, and said, okay, like, you know, our offense isn't clicking, let's just try and lock it down. And I thought they did a good job of playing defense, because there were, after, you know, game 2, really, there were not many goals scored. I thought that Joseph Woll, I wanted to see him play last night. I thought that he played great in game 6, but, you know, whatever, he was injured.
Samsonov was good, though. I give him credit.
Yeah,
I
mean, he was good.
Good last night.
You know, is Sheldon Keefe going to be there? I doubt it. Is Mitch Marner going to be there? I doubt it. They're going to have to make some changes. I mean, you have the same, they were saying Matthews, Marner, and Nylander have all been there for the last 4 first round eliminations, or last year. Yeah, first round eliminations, or however long it was. Maybe there was a second round elimination in there. And Tavares has been there for 3 of them. Like, this is your core group, and they can't get out of the first round. You know, last year they did, but, like, I'm just saying, like, you know, this is a team that's completely top heavy. They're built, everybody has them in, you know, a final or a, you know, winning a cup at the beginning of every year. And they're the Dallas Cowboys of the NHL. You know, they have great.
And there was the fighting
season
going on too, if you noticed the series. You had the bench, you had Nylander, and I don't know if it was Matthews who it was actually against, but there was some chatter on that. There was trouble on the benches. Things started falling apart.
You know, when you guys are, I get the competitive nature of being on the bench, you know, and I get, you know, being fired up, and like when Timo yelled at Nico, like,
oh,
shoot,
that's
exactly
what I was thinking.
I don't have a problem with that. It's when you're slamming sticks and gloves and blaming other people and things like that. That's when you start having a discourse in your on your bench. And this is what I think happened in Toronto. And then Matthews is out, which is weird that they're saying at first it's an illness. Then they're saying, no, no, he's injured. And then he can only get in limited time. Like, they didn't come out saying, just come out and say what it was. Like,
it's
just
weird. Now it's always lower body. That's it. That's what you hear. Lower body. That's it. But back in the day, you would actually hear the injuries. Now you never hear it.
You know, so but we do have a game 7 tonight, which has been an amazing series in Vegas and Dallas. I mean, holy shit, Aiden Hill looks so friggin' good in game 6.
Yeah, it's crazy, huh?
Yeah. And, you know, again, his numbers are, I think I got him here real quick.
You know, remember him last year, too? I mean, it's at that weird series. You know, the Knights and that, did you watch the game 6 at all?
Of which one? The Knights?
Yeah, the Knights
game. Yeah, I watched it.
I mean, they had a lot of chances in the first period, you know, obviously, and like Ottinger shut them down. But Aiden Hill just, I mean, when he started playing that game, I mean, Stone made it. There was the second period, I think. Stone made a crazy play in front of the net.
Yep.
Hanifin. So this is what I wanted to bring up, too, is you look at Hanifin, right? They get him. I think he has two goals. He had two goals in his playoffs, which was the other night also, which was a gigantic one, because he was an acquisition at the deadline. He was something they needed. And you know, this is another thing. As a Devils fan, you see these transactions, and you're like, wow, this really has helped this team.
Well, I look over the other side, too, and I see Tanev von Dallas, and that's the other guy that we were looking to get. And, you know, look, Vegas won the first two games, and then Dallas completely took control of the series in the next three. And then Aiden Hill and Ottinger had a battle in game 6 that was so much fun to watch. I cannot wait for tonight. And it's going to come down to which goalie has a better game tonight. So
you have to go with Hill, right? Not Thompson. I think you have, even though I think Thompson played four of these games so far this series, I think you have to go with Aiden Hill.
Thompson played four games so far this series. He's got a 9.21 save percentage. This is before game 6 that it's not. It is. It's after. It's, of course, before tonight's game. And a 2.35 goals against, and that was the playoffs, which are better numbers than his regular season, which he had a 9.08 save percentage. He's at a 9.21 in the playoffs. He had a 2.7 goals against in the regular season. He's at 2.35. You got Aiden Hill, who played the two games. He's 1-1. Regular season, he was I'm sorry, this is also the playoffs. I don't think I have his regular season stats, but his regular season was 19 wins, 2.71 goals against, and a 909 save percentage. In the playoffs, he's got a 938 save percentage and a 1.52 goals against. I know it's only two games, but you play Aiden Hill.
Yeah, you ride the hot hand, I mean.
Yeah. And Ottinger, again, you know, his numbers are so much better in the playoffs. In the regular season, 35 wins. He had a 2.72 goals against. In the playoffs, he's at a 2.72 in the regular season, and he's at a 2.1 in the playoffs. He had his save percentage ticked up a little bit in the playoffs. 905 save percentage in the regular season, and a 921 in 6 games in the playoffs. Like, Ottinger and Hill have been playing, and Thompson have all been playing fantastic. And that's the story of the playoffs.
This game goes either way, too. I really believe that. I just, you know, I mean, Eichel's been playing well, obviously. You know, I mean, it's just going to go. I just really, this is going to be a great game tonight, I'm sure.
I agree. I'm really looking forward to it. I believe that's a 7:30 start tonight, Eastern time. And then
What's the first game tonight? Is there two games tonight? 4 o'clock.
Yeah. 4 o'clock Carolina. Is the Rangers, Carolina, at the Garden. And
let's be honest. I mean, first of all, Washington was a joke.
Shouldn't even have been there.
Ovechkin, I mean, this guy, I don't even think he had a point in this whole series, if I remember correctly. Maybe
he
did.
Cared.
Yeah, I mean,
sure, Washington so looked like he gave a shit.
The Rangers, you know, Shesterkin, it's weird because with Washington's performance, I could look at all these Ranger stats and be like, well, this and this and this. But Washington was just a pushover. But obviously, Shesterkin, 4 wins, no losses, as you know. I mean, I think it's going to go 7 games. I do believe that. But this is going to be a hell of a series. I mean, you know, Anderson's been playing well. I mean, it's, you know, what do you, and all, like, when you think, Chris, when you got to be honest, because I think the Rangers are a good team this year. And as much as I hate, like, a Rempe and stuff like that, I think they were huge for this team this year.
I think it's going to be the Rangers in seven.
Do you?
Yeah. Okay. And, you know, if you just stick with round two, with the formula that got everybody through round one, it comes down to goaltending. And I think the only thing that I think the Canes have the advantage over, and I don't know how much of an advantage it is to me, is that Freddie Anderson didn't play a lot in the regular season. So he's fresh as a daisy, or at least should be. But again, you know, you look at these regular season numbers and you look at the playoff numbers, and Freddie Anderson is the only goalie that came through that had worse numbers in the playoffs than he did in the regular season. So for that, I'm going to take Shesterkin, who during the regular season won 36 games to Freddie Anderson's 13. I get it. Freddie Anderson was sick and out for most of the year. In those 13 wins, Freddie Anderson had a 1.84 goals against. That's the regular season. He's at a 2.25 goals against in the playoffs, which is still really good. I mean, 1.84 is ridiculous. So he didn't play a lot. And his save percentage in the regular season was 932, and it's down to 912 now in the five games, which is also the same save percentage that Igor Shesterkin had in the regular season. But now he's up to 931 save percentage, but he only played the four games and a 1.75 goals against. I think the Canes have to come out early and win. They have, I mean, it's the old adage, they got to split the series, split the first two. You have to steal one in New York, but I think the Canes are a really good team, and I just worry that the Rangers, the way that they play, they're so patient that even when you're in your offensive zone and you're pushing, they have the ability to just quick transition and go the other way, and they don't miss when they do. They're a really good team. This is also going to come down to special teams. These are two of the best special teams in the regular season. I think they were like 3-4 in combined special teams in the league. I could be wrong about that, but they're definitely like top 6 or 7, both of them. So I think it's going to come down to special teams and goaltending. That's what it's going to come down to.
Yeah, I mean, and you look at guys on the Rangers who last year in the playoffs obviously didn't show up. You look at like Zibanejad has, I think he's 7 points, you know, he's got already in the first series. Like I said, it is against Washington, and Washington was definitely didn't show up. You know, but he's averaging 20 minutes of ice time, you know, Kreider, but they are, I don't know that they're built. I think the Rangers are a little bit. So what do you have? So what's the point leaders on? So for Carolina, you have what? Jarvis,
I don't even know right now who the
Brady
point leaders
Say
are.
Was, I think, has 5 points this playoffs. I mean, he's a good player. I think he's averaging like 20 minutes a game too. I'm trying to remember. Panarin, I think, only has a few points. I think he's got, you know, 2 goals and an assist or something. But the Rangers, you know, they're going to be tough. I do see it's 100% what you're saying about Rangers in seven. I'm going to go the opposite on seven. I'm going to go Carolina in seven just because
I think you should.
I just feel like it's going to go either way. I feel like this is going to be another series that just like Boston, Toronto in a way where it's probably going to come out to the end and, you know, could go down to overtime. I just see a couple of the rags contributing that weren't contributing last playoffs that, you know.
Well, Seth Jarvis is leading the Canes in points. He has 7. He has 3 goals and 4 assists. Martin Natchez has 5 points. Svechnikov has 5 points. Brady Shea has 5 points.
I like that Natchez. I really, and that Shea, I'll tell you, he's another one, that guy.
But they haven't even gotten Sebastian Aho rolling yet. So, you know, I expect him to also be a difference maker in this series. I expect a good long series of two teams that I think are going to beat the shit out of each other.
Do you find it hard, like now that the season's over, you know, and like when I don't, like when the season's going on with the Uncle Pucker show, you're like, I'm always watching like the social media things for all this, you know, so the Devils get, you know, Devils are out, obviously not much going on our front. And as much as I hate the Rangers, I start looking at the playoffs as a big picture. Like as much as I don't like this team, I start looking at the reality of it, you know, because I'm so bitter about, like we talked about when Rempe scored that goal, I think it was, I don't know if it was game one or two, that series.
Yeah, I hate
Washington.
Watching them play well.
I wanted to puke. Yeah. I was like, oh, you know, I do think the Rangers are good. I think I would love to see them. I think the Rangers have to get knocked out of the series because I think Well, I don't know. Florida's,
no,
you know,
it's Florida's
fucking tough. Yeah.
I'm going with... Look, I'm sorry. I don't care who comes out of this series. I just think you're going up against a team on a mission. They've been on a mission since the puck dropped in game one in October. These yep. guys are ready to win the cup, and I think that they're going to have their second chance in a row to do it. And I wouldn't be shocked if we have a 96 Stanley Cup final rematch
you were saying
between
that.
Colorado and Florida. But, yeah, I mean, I just think whoever comes out of the Ranger-Carolina series is just going to meet their doom in Sunrise.
And I think Florida, they first of all, with the Lightning, they learned how to beat the Lightning last year when they lost. I think they took a lot of notes and changed a lot of shit to make sure that they were ready. Florida is the opposite of what we had happen in New Jersey this year. Florida built on a season last year and got better this year. I think I would have to rewind it because I am known to smoke some weed sometimes and forget some shit, but I believe I predicted Florida to go very far in these playoffs because I was so impressed with them last year. I could be totally wrong. So
no, and I think if you go back and listen to the shows, you'll see that I was the exact opposite. I said, with the amount of injuries they incurred in the playoffs last year and that in the beginning of the year, a couple of these guys
are. Yeah, they started with injuries. Yeah.
Yeah. They weren't even going to be in the lineup until like Thanksgiving or Christmas. Second thing was when you go through that grinding of a playoff like they did last year, only to come up short in the finals, it's really hard to get back there. It's really hard to get yourself up to make that run again after another grinding 82-game season. I was so wrong about that team because they were the best hockey team in the Eastern Conference for most of the year. And, you know, they don't have an off switch. And they are so many guys on that team that are just, we've said it, right, that have that clutch gene, that are just, you know, guys that you don't want to mess with in the playoffs. And I think they've gotten better because if you remember last year, it was all Matthew Tkachuk.
Yeah, he's got 9 points already these playoffs. For him,
right.
He's got 9 points. I mean,
but now I feel like some of that Matthew Tkachuk magic is rubbing off on the rest of the team. And, yeah. You know, now they're kind of, they know how to win in the playoffs. And I think they're going to rout Boston. Look, Swayman can keep them in every game. So yeah. I am looking forward to a Bobrovsky-Swayman. But it would be a shame if Florida doesn't come out of the East because they are the best team.
What did you say Swayman's goal average was? Is it in the playoffs? It's like 1 point something. I want to say, was it 1.49 you said, or 1.48 or some shit like that? Okay. I mean, I was just really impressed with him. He was very impressive last night. I know you said 1.4 something. I forget exactly what it was.
Where the hell is Swayman's? Yeah, Vegas, Dallas, Florida. Tampa Bay, Washington, Isles. Did I not do Swayman's numbers?
I thought you did for some reason. I know it was like one something, but, you know, I mean, he's, like I said, he could be a big difference maker, but I have to go with Florida. I think Florida has everything. I think they have the leadership. They got the balls. They will punch you in the mouth. They will, like I said, they made Tampa look bad in a lot of ways, you know?
Yeah, they did.
You know, I think Vazzy's had a goal. I think his GA during that playoff was like way over three.
Jeremy Swayman's goals against in the playoffs is 1.49
okay.
with a 0.95 save percentage. So this dude, yeah, he's clutch.
Who's his backup? You know, Omar.
Yeah. And, you know, last year's Vezina Trophy winner. And, you know, who will be on the market this year? I just think, you know, we got to really – I just don't – again, we'll talk about this more after the playoffs, but I'm really worried about overpaying for a goaltender. You know,
yeah.
I know we need one, but I feel like we can get a good one in either a smaller trade with maybe a lesser-known guy or free agent. I'm still on the Lorraine Brossoit train, but – we'll see how that goes. And I did hear that Tom McClellan just interviewed for a job with us.
Ah.
So, you know, so the coaching search is on. I'm sure that Travis Green, who I heard also, I think, interviewed in Ottawa for the head coaching job. So, you know, hopefully Travis Green ends up somewhere, not in New Jersey. And we go I don't know, there might be a free agent, big name coach available. Am I right about that, Tone?
Oh, yeah. You know, Brendan Moore, you know, and me and you talked off the record about him. He is, you know, a guy that this team could definitely use. I mean, the guy is a winner anyway. I mean, if you look at, he has you looked at Brendan Moore as a player, which I think he had a gold medal. I think that was, what, 94 against Italy. The guy won. Obviously, he's been coaching as assistant. I think he started coaching in 2011 as an assistant. He's been there. He's proven every season that he's been the head coach, they've made it to the playoffs this year.
And they made it past the first round.
Yeah, past the first rounds. So, you know, look at that with him.
He's won a cup as a player, too.
He won a cup with Carolina, obviously. Mm-hmm. He was the captain of that team. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so actually I have his – so coaching, so since as a head coach, I actually have his numbers here. So 2018-19, his first season as head coach, he lost in the third round. So he actually did lose in the first round in 2019-20. He lost in the first round. But after that, it was 2020-21 was second round. 2021-22 was second round. And obviously last year was in the third round. I pulled like his coaching numbers. The guy's got 278 wins, 130 losses. But, you know, with Brendan Moore, he also won the Jack Adams, right? I think it was 2020-21.
Yeah, he did.
He was a guy, that even as a player, like, he had grit to him. He wasn't a big fighter, but he fought some dudes. He fought Barnaby and he fought Bobby Holik back in the 90s. I don't know. To me, he just has a fire to him. He's kind of like he's only in his 50s. What is he? Is he 52 or 53, I think?
Yeah, he's not old.
He's not too old. And I think with what I'm so surprised about with Carolina, you know, most likely he's going to be the coach Carolina next year. Like, if I had to put my money on it, wouldn't you say most likely this is going to be the scenario? Because how do you let this guy leave?
Well, I agree. But again, the Carolina, the way that they run things, a lot like Lou used to run the Devils, and they don't like to pay people. They never did. And
Tom Dundon waited it out. I mean, but is it going to backfire? Because it's going to be a lot of offer. Everybody wants this guy.
That's what it's going to come down to. I mean, I'm sure that there are a few teams already that are just waiting until Carolina is out so they can, you know, put a phone call in to see about his availability. And I think the Devils most definitely need to be one of those teams. And I've been on this show saying, look, if the guy wants $5 million a year, give him the $5 million a year. Make him the highest paid head coach if you have to in the NHL, because he deserves it and he's worth it. And he will make this team a hell of a lot better. But I think Ottawa's going to be looking into him. I heard that the LA Kings are going to be looking into him. So you do have already – he is not even on the market, and he's probably the hottest commodity when it comes to coaching right now. So,
and I think for us, he would be an event – it would give us something that we each – because, you know, I'm obviously – and I think you would like this too, because I know with Ruff, you kind of felt like he should have been more electric. So the thing with Brendan Moore is, Brendan Moore, I don't know if it was probably 2 or 3 years ago, he was fined like $25,000 for going after the officials, you know, because of some bad in the playoffs. He's fiery. He has that personality. He's not afraid to actually, you know, use his voice. You know, I don't know. I mean, to me, He fits a little bit of course, I like guys like Torts. I know everyone can't stand him, but he's a fiery coach. I think Brendan Moore's the in-between. Like, he's kind of going to keep his composure, but he's just going to spark up the team. Because I felt with Travis Green, too, nothing against Green. I mean, obviously, we don't know what happened in the locker room. But it just seemed like there's not much fire on that bench.
No. No, the Devils lacked so much. And you know, we talked the entire season, right? The deficiencies of this team and the things they have to clean up and everything like that. But even if they got themselves Jacob Markstrom this year, and let's say they got a defenseman, you know, maybe not Tanev or not Hanifin, but let's say they made a couple of moves. You see how these teams are playing in the playoffs, and it is so much more physical, and there's so much more they do everything they can in the playoffs to take the big guys out. And, you know, our speed and skill, I think, would have been eaten up and spit out, because I don't think we're able to match anybody in these playoffs in physicality. And that's something that needs to change. And it's not just the we need physical players. That's not always the case. It's also the system and how you play. You can play with more grit. We do have guys that can, you know, be a little bit tougher that just aren't. Like, I would love to see what Rod Brendan Moore, I was just about to say, I would love to see how Rod Brendan Moore coaches Kevin Ball. I would love to see him, you know, get that next level of physicality out of Kevin Ball and out of some of our guys, you know, that absolutely need it. And I think guys like Curtis Lazar would flourish under Brind'Amour. And I think Brind'Amour would love to have guys on his team like Jack Hughes and Nico Hischier and Timo Meier and Jesper Bratt. Like, he doesn't – Carolina never had top-flight offensive guys. They never did. Sebastian Aho is their best player, and he's very good. But if you look at just the skill positions, they don't have guys that are going to be putting up huge numbers, and they just don't. That's not how they play. So
I would love to see the Hughes brothers play under him.
Right. What can he get out of Luke? What can he get out of Shimon Nemec? Like, it's the I think out of all the coaching availabilities and all the teams out there that are going to need a head coach, I don't know if there's a better ball of clay to mold than in New Jersey. I just think that if you're a coach and you believe in yourself and you believe in your system, you look at that lineup and you look at that roster and say, I can get this team to a Stanley Cup. And that should be the logic, because the roster's loaded. Yes, there are deficiencies and there are pieces missing, but those aren't pieces that are going to be very difficult to get. I think between free agency and just guys in Utica, I think we can make up a lot of that. Not all of that. We need a goaltender. We need a defenseman. And I'd love to get a solid guy in the top six. Another guy I wanted to bring up to you, I believe it was Tim. Tim Wood sent us a message, and he just mentioned it. And I was watching him this whole Boston series.
What's up, Tim?
Jake DeBrusque is a UFA. Yeah. I like the way he plays, man. I was watching him a lot after I, you know, Tim mentioned him to me. Because, you know, I look at all these guys.
You remember his father, right?
Boston.
Yeah, you remember his father, oh. Right? Louis.
No, I don't.
Yeah, I Louis DeBrusque.
For Toronto.
No.
His father. Oh. No, I don't remember Louis DeBrusque.
It was his dad. I never thought about DeBrusque, actually.
Me neither. And he's a good player, and he's physical. He's tough, and he's a hell of a playmaker. I think, you know, he's a little bit on the smaller side, but again, you know, maybe that's somebody that we need, and the head coach is going to be a big, big part of it. So if there's even a sliver of possibility that Rod Brind'Amour can be leaving Carolina, hey, you know, he's from this area, he's played in Philly, he coached in Carolina, he's always been in the Metropolitan Division, maybe he wants to stay and not move cross country or up to Canada. And maybe we can snag him, but I think Carolina will end up paying him.
I think Ottawa's kind of like, and I actually don't mind the Sens. You know, I mean, I think that's a place that you have to kind of think twice before you go there, because it seems like, you know, it's not an easy job. I just want to know, what do you think about, do you think that this contract issue with, I mean, do you think it's going to have any kind of distraction during these playoffs for Carolina? Because I don't know if it's, I will say, I don't think it's going to, I'll state that. But I mean, what do you think?
I don't think so. I don't think so. I think that Rod Brind'Amour, the last thing he's thinking about is his contract. And, you know, ownership isn't going to bring anything up until their season is over. So, but I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, win or lose in this series, that the day after they're eliminated, they offer him a contract. Now, look, it might be, you know, I think he gets like less than $2 million or around $2 million a year. It might be a $3 million contract, and he might just be going, you know what, I've been doing this for 6 years now. I've given you nothing but success. You know, I want to get paid. And, you know, maybe you get somebody to call him like Tom Fitzgerald and say, hey, we'll make you the highest paid head coach in the league. And whether or not we would do that, I mean, it seems that our ownership doesn't mind spending money, so I have no problem with that. And it's not salary cap money, so who gives a shit?
Yes.
Just pay the guy.
And some shit just has to change, you know. I mean, there's going to be a lot of question marks going on, I think, the next season with the Devils too, because we've brought up on this show, like, there's a couple guys that I'm wondering, you know, what is the real player in them? Because this year was such a, you know, you can't judge. Look at Sharon Govich. You can't judge it. Maybe they'll go somewhere else and be great, or maybe they'll come back to us and be great. It's just, I really hope we make some moves. I think we need, like, at least three moves this year. Like you said, definitely a defenseman. I would like to see a surprise this offseason too. I would like to see us get a guy that you would have never expect us grabbing. You know, you mentioned Stamkos. I'll take a Stamkos on this team. A guy like that.
You know, Stamkos playing with Jack Hughes is pretty – that's something that could be really exciting.
Yeah, just keep Marner out of here.
Yeah, I mean, I'd like Stamkos. Of course, Brady Tkachuk, you know, he's the guy I want, whether or not we can actually get him. Hang on one second.
No, did you kind of feel glad now, Chris, that – so for like you said a couple minutes ago, I don't believe we would have had a run in these playoffs. Like I do believe we are not built for special to face these teams that are in the playoffs right now. So I am actually kind of – I'm okay. I hate missing – you never want to miss the playoffs. It's like one of the – you just don't want to do it because we've had so many, quote, draft picks and this and that. Mm-hmm. But I believe us getting the draft pick early next season and not going out and blowing our load on a goalie – it's probably going to come back to help us a little bit because I don't think we would have – I think we needed a few more pieces than we believe to actually be able to compete with some of these teams.
I agree. And I think that – I do think that if this offseason is done right, the Devils are going to be right back in it next year as one of the best teams in the Metropolitan Division. I believe that. And they have to stay healthy. And I do think that their next season is going to look a lot different than this season. And they're – you know, the one thing that I think – I gleaned most out of this season was, wow, we are really just a really young, inexperienced team. And that's what it came down to. And maybe you need, maybe you need to not make the playoffs after a really successful season, you know, to really get yourself going. Maybe that's what you need. Maybe I just hope that all these guys left their exit interviews and they left that building this summer with just a really bad taste in their mouth that they never, ever, ever want to feel that way again. And, you know, a lot of the guys said all the right things. Seems like a lot of guys are taking it seriously where some of them that are a little bit banged up are saying, you know what, we're not going to play in any tournaments over the summer. We're just going to get our bodies and minds right for the season. And then it's up to, you know, I believe that the players are going to come in ready to go. Let's hope that the head coaching hire is the right one, and that Tom Fitzgerald can pull off a couple of moves this summer to get this team, you know, what they need. Because I just think you can't go into the season with just Jake Allen and whoever is our, you know, going to be his backup. Like Jake Allen needs to be the 1B or the backup, whatever the hell you want to call him. But
I'm hoping they look at. And I actually made a little thing here, like, I'm sorry, because I knew it was going to be me and you today. Just they can look at some of their former teammates who are actually in the playoffs this year. And hopefully that'll motivate them a little bit because so I was
Who's in the playoffs from the old Devils?
I believe there was 9 if I calculate it right, guys, right now. So now just some of these guys are just role players, but some of them I actually did enjoy on the team. You have Jimmy Vesey, obviously, who's, you know, has a goal and assist in these playoffs right now, and he's still in them. Miles Wood, who, hey, he's got 2 goals right now, you know, in the playoffs. He's playing about 12 minutes a game. But you have Zach Parise, which I'm kind of torn, you know, with Colorado, because as much as Parise stung us, you know, there's certain guys you wouldn't mind maybe seeing win, but you got Parise's over there. He has 2 goals right now, you know, with
them. He's playing all right.
Yeah. Palmieri obviously done in the playoffs, but I know you're not a big Palmieri guy, but he had, I think he had 2 goals in the playoffs this season. Stefan Nwaesen, 3 goals.
Yeah, he's clutch, dude.
Yeah. I mean, I liked him when we had him.
And he's that type of guy you need in the playoffs. Like he's that role player that shows up in the playoffs. And it was awesome.
I feel that way about VC too. And I know I mentioned him on the show a few times, but I feel like that's one of those guys too. That's always good to have on your roster.
I agree.
You know, he's got that little bit of snarl to him. Pavel Zacha, who I do root for. Pavel Zacha. I know some people were glad he's gone and I get it, but I do root for the guy. I mean, he's got 2 assists, you know, he's playing 18 minutes a night. Jesper Boqvist, you know, he's been in every game so far for Boston.
Jesper the Lesser is what we used to call him.
Yeah, he's been in every playoff. Pat Maroon, I mean, who wins a cup pretty much wherever he goes. Yeah. That is, you know, so I mean, you know, Maroon, who with the Devils, it was kind of a bummer with him because I felt like he didn't want to be there from day one.
Yeah, I know.
I liked Pat Maroon. I liked him with Tampa. You know, the guy's a winner and just a tough dude. He's been in every game so far for Boston. I think he has 2. Yeah, he has 2 assists. And Tyler Toffoli, obviously, he had 2 goals in the playoffs. He's obviously not there anymore. And you know, obviously, we could see Toffoli come back again. But I just wonder if like some of these, especially there's some younger players like Boqvist, and you know, a lot of these guys like Nico and them grew up with some of these guys playing with them, like the Zacas and stuff. So hopefully that motivates them a little bit, looking out and saying, "Wow, there's a bunch of us who are actually still in this playoffs."
Henrique, did you mention him?
Oh, I didn't mention Henrique. Yeah, and he's had a hell of a playoffs. That's why you can't hate against Edmonton. Like I kind of, you know, kind of thinking I don't mind if Adam wins, man. I've always loved Henrique. How did you, when he left the Rangers, were you the Devils? Did that really just bum you out?
Yeah, it did. And I liked Sammy Vatanen and you know, I don't remember who else we got, but I know Vatanen was the big name in the deal. But, you know, Adam Henrique is a special player. And, you know, again, we talked about it. There's that group of Devils that are going to be forgotten that were fan favorites and really great Devils. And Adam Henrique is one of them. And I do hope, I'd like to see him win the Cup. But see, as far as Devil fans go, like, we're doing great in the playoffs. Listen to all those guys you just mentioned. Devils are killing it in the playoffs.
And Adam Henrique, how about when he came back and flipped the puck over Vatanen's head?
That was, yeah, that was just that embarrassing. Was like,
yeah,
like, yeah, like, how'd that trade work out, guys? Before we actually wrap it up, so unfortunately I have to go get ready for work soon, but I was, the other morning I was watching, and you would appreciate this, there was an E60 documentary on ESPN, and the way that they set it up, it was on a stage, they had some players, hockey players, I'll tell you who they were in a second, and they were showing the games and the clips from 1997, Colorado Detroit, when Claude Lemieux destroyed Chris Draper on the dasher boards and busted up his face. And the, like, all right, so that happens. That was a regular season game. I'm almost positive. Yeah, but right?
And Bowman got on the bus and tried to actually on the Colorado bus. And,
yes,
that fired up on that one. Yeah,
but then big. Like Darren McCarty, who was on that Red Wing team. And they had played a couple of games afterwards in Colorado, and there were no repercussions because it was in their building and everything. So they were playing like March, whatever the date was, and that was the last game of the season. Detroit had not beaten Colorado, who was the defending cup champion, the whole year. Their guy gets completely destroyed by Claude Lemieux. There's no retaliation, no nothing. So the days or a week or so before the final game of the season in Detroit, the whole Detroit media is on them. Like, you guys, this has got to be a payback game. You cannot let Claude Lemieux just come in here and do whatever the hell he wants. We can't.
They were getting police protection into the stadiums for those games.
Detroit, yeah. Colorado had a police escort into the building. They were getting death threats. And then when all hell broke loose, and Darren McCarty knocked Claude Lemieux on his ass, just cold cocked him, busted him wide open. And Mike Vernon and Patrick Waugh
beating
the shit out of each other. And the whole fucking melee, it was a bloodbath. It goes to overtime, and McCarty wins the game winner, scores the game winner, and they finally get that Colorado Avalanche monkey off their back. But hearing McCarty, Draper, and Lemieux, they were all there together talking about it. It was
Signings together. They do actually. Claude
do
Lemieux
they really?
And McCarty actually go to signings for charity. And you have to give Claude credit because he got owned on the ice. But I believe, I'm not saying he would have beat him, but I think Claude kind of took his ass whooping. Like, okay, man, let me do this.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Claude Lemieux. Hey, if anybody listening to the show, you want to see the greatest Claude Lemieux highlight, look up Brett Lindros. Claude Lemieux sucker punching Brett Lindros on the bench against the Islanders.
I remember
Claude
that.
Lemieux sitting on the bench. They push over Lindros. He's leaning over the bench. Claude Lemieux just gives him an uppercut. Looks around like a kid in school. Like, the teacher's not watching.
He
fucking
was
great.
Such a dick. It was awesome.
Yeah. One of my favorite players ever.
Yeah. I mean, and you know, Detroit's biggest problem was they felt, you know, the dude never even said he was sorry. Like, that was their biggest issue. Like, this would not have gotten here if you would have just called Draper and been like, dude, I apologize, man. I didn't mean to break your face in half. But, you know, he never did. And it was funny because then in 97 in Detroit, they brought Brendan Shanahan in. So Shanahan had never won a cup. And they're talking about how, you know, Shanahan saying, you know, Claude and I played together in New Jersey and he's my friend, you know, and it was weird going into this game because it was all eyes on Claude Lemieux. And I'm like, you know, the elephant in the room is, yeah, Shanny played with him and they're buddies, but they got out for their skate and he skated past Lemieux, and Lemieux looks at Shanahan and goes, "You're fucking garbage. You never fucking won anything," and skated away. And Shanahan was like, "All right, I guess I'm in this thing now."
Yeah, you know, and I think it was Lemieux, then Danico. There's an old book out about the Devil's locker room, and if I forget the name of it, but I think the first week that Claude was a Devil, him and Danico had to be separated in the locker room.
That's awesome. They're
fist fighting. You know, that was just awesome. That was the way back then. And hey, Claude Lemieux, for us as a Devil fan, the guy came here twice and won Stanley Cups. Yeah. I mean, you know, he just, I hated seeing him go. I loved Claude Lemieux. He was a guy that I remember being in your basement, Chris, watching him score that goal off of the backboards. I think it was against Philly. I believe it was. And
when I had you chained up in my basement.
That's right.
I gave you a little TV to watch hockey.
I had to tap that little bell three times to get supper. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, I'll never forget that, you know,
my little human centipede,
you centipede, you two in the background, but, yeah, I mean, hey, that was the guy that if you wanted to win, you had Claude Lemieux, and Claude Lemieux was a nightmare for Detroit in a lot of ways too. I mean,
how many guys won four cups with three different teams? Like that's impressive, man. You know, he was, and look, man, you know, Timo Meier is his guy, so I'm really hoping that we see a little bit of that in the future from Timo. So that would be...
It's there. It could happen. I mean, he has it in him.
It is there. I don't know if he's that much of a complete prick.
I was going to say, I think these days you can't... Everyone's a little too... I think you would get in trouble these days.
Yeah,
players were smoking cigarettes.
Yeah, Claude relished just being a douchebag. And, you know, if you ever, there's a podcast, I believe it's the Spit and Chicklets podcast, and it was one of the ones that Gomer was on, Scotty Gomez was on, and he tells some great Claude Lemieux stories.
Yeah, I've heard some of those, yeah.
Yeah, just, and it's a lot of fun. But real quick, you know who impressed me in that Toronto series a lot? And he's a free agent this year. I don't know if he's a guy that would mix up well with the Devils because he's smaller and stuff, but Max Domi played a hell of a series. He was amazing on the blue line. I mean, on the faceoff dots. I mean, he was killing it and playing really good. And I'm like, I'm watching this dude and thinking, wonder how.
The only thing with Domi these playoffs, well, he takes some bad penalties sometimes, but you could totally, this is a guy, we can use five of these guys on our team.
Yeah. I mean, he's not his dad, but he is, he's a very good player. I had no idea he was that good at faceoffs. I mean, he was owning Boston.
He took a penalty the other night. I don't know, it was probably, you know, very early in the series, and Ty was at the game. Mm-hmm. And Ty looked so fucking annoyed. Like, because Ty knew, like, this is the worst. Like, you could just see, like, that he knew that this was a really bad penalty to take. And that was kind of cool seeing him out there. You know, Domi, Ty, he was a son of a bitch, right? I mean, but he said some shit about Stevens. I know he basically called out Stevens, said Stevens wouldn't fight and all these things. But Domi was a force to be reckoned with. I mean,
And Danico have had a lot of battles, no doubt. Yeah.
But it's another game seven, Chris, where I know you have to go to work, but you got to probably mention the Edmonton-Vancouver.
Edmonton-Vancouver, that's right. We are going to see an Edmonton-Vancouver series. Canada will be losing one of their playoff teams. Yeah. I mean, I kind of have to – let's see. Skinner in the regular season, we'll do these guys real quick. He had 36 wins. He had a 2.62 goals against and a 905 save percentage. He's 4-1 in the playoffs with a 910 save percentage and a 2.59 goals against. So his numbers came down. They had Talbot and Rittich both played playoff games. Talbot had 27 wins on the regular season. I'm talking about that's the Kings. What am I doing here? Going back to Vancouver.
So you're going to Demko and them, I think, in Vancouver.
Demko, DeSmith, and Silas. Silas. So... Yeah, okay. Demko in the playoffs is 1-0. He's not playing. It doesn't matter. But he had a 917 save percentage and a 2 goals against. DeSmith was 1-1 with a 911 save percentage and a 202 goals against. And then Silas, who's I'm not sure if I'm saying his name right. In the regular season, he was 3-0-1 with a 247 goals against and a, what was his save percentage? 815 save percentage. Now he's 2-1 with a 1.7 goals against and a 9.38 save percentage. That's one of the higher save percentages in the playoffs so far. I'm gonna go Vancouver. I'm just
really, really.
I, I like Edmonton, and I want to see Henrique do well, and I'm big on...
McDavid already has 12 points, and fucking 11 of them are assists. You know, I don't know, man. Just Drysdale and him, I'm 10. Drysdale's a 5 and 5, 6 5. I think it's 5 goals, 5 assists, 2.
I don't think we're going to see any 4 or 5-game series in round 2, I'll tell you that.
No. I really want Adam to win, too, like you said, but I just think Edmonton's just better.
Goaltending. It's going to come down to goaltending again. All these series, that's what it's coming down to.
That's what came down. Our season came down to, too. Sure did. just ended, on the end of the schedule.
That's a tough one for me, man. Vancouver Edmonton's tough. And who else have we got? We got to wait for the Vegas, Dallas, Vegas.
Did you say who you're taking tonight? Who are you taking in Game 7 for Vegas and Dallas?
Fuck, man. I'm going to go with Dallas only because it's in Dallas.
Did you pick Dallas as your winner this?
I thought we all picked
Vegas for some reason. I thought Toronto. I think Dan picked Toronto, though. I think that was the only thing completely different, I thought. I need to keep track of this shit.
So Dallas, I took the Stars in 6. I was wrong. Bobby took the Stars in 6. Dan took the Stars in 6. You took the Stars in 7. And Tim took the Stars in 6. So you're the only one that can hit on that.
Go Stars.
None of us took Vegas. And the Vancouver-Nashville series, I took Vancouver in 5. You took Vancouver in 6. Dan took them in 5. Tim took them in 6. Bobby took them in 5. What was that? That series went, what, 5?
I don't know
6?
What that went. I think it went 5, I thought.
I got to recheck that.
Yeah, because if Skinner went 4-1 in that series, I think you said.
You're right. Yeah. Yeah, Skinner was 4-1, so that went 5. That's right. They knocked out. Yeah, they. But, that's the Edmonton one. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the Vancouver.
Oh, this is what happens when you 7 o'clock in the morning. We're all talking about 1994 series and
let's see. Well, yeah, Nashville.
I think that was. I think Nashville got swept. Maybe no.
No, it was.
Did they win one game out of that?
6. It went 6.
Oh yeah, because if you had Demko had what he played in one game, right? And then
he played in one. DeSmith played in 2 and Seelis played in 3.
Yeah, 2-1.
The Winnipeg, Colorado, that went 5. Dan's the only one that took. No, you and Dan took the Avs in 7, and we all took. The rest of us took the Jets in 7, and it was the Avs in 5.
And Dan took Toronto too, right?
I think he did.
I think he was the only one to Toronto. I remember being like, wow, because I know he's usually hard on Toronto, but I think he did take them.
Dan took Toronto in 7. I took Boston in 6. You took Boston in 7. Tim took Toronto in 6. And Bobby took Boston in 7. So you and Bobby nailed that one.
There you go, Mr. B.
Yeah. So, yeah, we're going to wrap this thing up. This was a fun little quick episode, little go over. We wanted to talk a little bit since round 2 starting today. We are going to actually be back tomorrow. Not sure about the time with hopefully a full lineup. And we'll talk about whatever games happened today, everything coming up in the next week or so. I've had a devil on deck now for like 2 weeks.
Is it your? I thought it was my turn. Is it your turn next?
Yeah, it's mine. I've had it. So yeah, we'll get back into that. Hopefully when the guys all get back. It's a rough time of year,
Everyone's traveling right now, and
school's ending, and everyone's got graduation coming up, and prom, and schlepping all over the fucking place. So yeah,
my time sucks. I apologize, everybody. When there's a game, I'm usually always on the late nights if we do it, but it's just hard when there's no game sometimes, and bus circle in the morning.
I can definitely do Sunday mornings, even if it's just me and you. We do a quick little Sunday show and bang it out.
Yeah,
I can do this before work, so
no problem for me.
All right, so wherever you guys are listening to us, we really appreciate you. Give us a like, a positive review, a 5-star rating, a download, a subscription. we really do appreciate it, and it helps us push this little podcast that could. I forgot to read my DraftKings script, so, you know, DraftKings.
And Chris, today, I have one little thing for you. I know you have to go, but
you do, if we do Sundays,
if we do Sunday mornings, we could do a Sunday preview football show, me and you, for a 10 minutes pucker show. We can always throw in a 10 minutes for everybody who cares out there.
Thinking a little bit more than...
Oh, yeah, we could do that too, what we were talking about.
I was thinking Tuesdays, me and you can hop on, do an hour, talk about the football games the week before and the ones coming up, and just bullshit. But we could definitely,
If we do Sundays, we can always do a little 10-minute preview here too, if the football listeners wanted to, you know, check it out. Because both of us are, out of the four of us, we're the two that care. The other two do not give a shit.
They don't give a shit. And we are football guys. But I cannot wait for this football season.
Oh, yeah. I'm excited to be disappointed.
Yeah, I'm excited to be disappointed as well. I'll tell you, though, I am very interested to see Sam Darnold on this Viking team. I mean,
you guys and the Bears, the best draft. Like I said, man, I would be excited if I was you.
I am very excited. I am, like, for the first time, like, since we moved on from Cousins, and now it's like, the first year we actually had money to spend because it wasn't all going to our subpar quarterback who can't win a fucking playoff game. So I'm not bitter at all. But anyway, you know, picking up Grenard and Van Ginkle and Cashman and then having the draft that they did, I'm just super psyched. And I cannot wait to see. Now you just got to lock up Justin Jefferson.
What the hell happens to Cousins now? You think he winds up like moving? I mean, this guy's got to be wondering what the fuck just happened.
Yeah, I think he, you know, this is what happens when you're a player who is only motivated by money. And that is Kirk Cousins to a T. Came to Minnesota because Minnesota offered him the most money. So that's why I scratch my head when all these Viking fans are up in arms saying, how could he leave us like that? How can he go to Atlanta? Like, you don't remember 6 years ago, like, this dude was a mercenary who came here for the money. So, of course, whoever was going to offer him the most. And I think he was sold a bill of goods. I think he was told, like, we love you. You're our guy. We're going to go into this draft. We're going to get a little bit more help for you, or we're going to bolster our defense. Like, look, Dallas Turner was mocked to them in, like, almost every other draft that I saw. And at number 8, you go and take Michael Penix. It just made no sense. It never will make sense. It just, why take Cousins then?
And Cousins got to be, and money kills. I mean, I saw it with, I don't know if you remember Asamoah. The Raiders had him. He went to Philly, and that was the end of Asamoah's career, pretty much.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, sometimes you just, I don't know. Sometimes the money isn't the best thing.
No. And I'm sure that Cousins right now is sitting at home going, what the hell did I do? Vikings offered me a deal. It was a 2-year deal. You know, I could have probably renegotiated with them after the year, retired a Viking, been probably their leading quarterback, you know, most statistics, other, you know, maybe right behind Fran Tarkenton and a lot of them. But this is what happens. You went because $280 million in your bank account wasn't enough. You had to fucking go for the money. And this is what you get, dude. You know, Minnesota did everything to get the best out of Kirk. And what that means is you make sure that there's nobody in that dressing room that can challenge him for a job. That's why our backup quarterbacks are Nick Mullins and Sean Mannion and Jaren Hall, you know, garbage guys that are never going to take your job. I don't want to call Jaren Hall garbage. He's a prospect, so he's young. But, you know, that aren't going to take your job. It's got to be constantly patted on the back and told what a great job he's doing. And we can't do this without you, Kirk, and you're the lifeblood of our team. And we saw Kirk Cousins have a little bit of a renaissance the last couple of years. His personality came out and people liked him. You know, he's wearing the chains, he's dancing, he's doing commercials, all this stuff. Like, we got him out of his shell to be comfortable, and his play, you know, showed that on the field. He was playing great football 2 years ago, 8 come from behind fourth quarter victories, making the playoffs, you know, last year having MVP type numbers before the injury. Now you go to Atlanta where you have no equity with that team. They don't fucking know you from Adam. You're walking in and you're the guy that's getting $100 million who doesn't work on Tuesdays. Kirk Cousins does not work on Tuesdays. That is when every quarterback sits down with the head coach and the offensive coordinators and come up with the game plan. He doesn't work on Tuesdays because that's family day. You know who's going to work on Tuesdays? Michael Penix is going to work on Tuesdays. Michael
Tom Brady worked on Tuesdays. I guarantee you that.
Yeah. Michael Penix is going to be there every Tuesday. And then I like I said on the last show with Dan, who do you think these teammates in Atlanta are going to gravitate to? The soccer dad or Michael Penix?
And Cousins kind of reminds me, not even of his play, but he kind of has that Derek Carr, like how far can he actually get to win? Like, is he going to win ever? Or is he just going to be that guy who's a decent, a good quarterback, but can never get that far? Is he at the end of the day, can he win a Super Bowl? There you go. And I think Carr could have early on. That there was one season where he got hurt, obviously snapped his leg. I think that was their year. But he's another guy. I don't think that he's going to – he can't just get to that.
No, that spot. And I think Carr mentally has been beaten up so bad. I think the Raiders damaged him pretty well.
It's what they do.
You know, so again, do I think that Kirk can win it? No, he's won one playoff game. He's been a starter in this league for 10 years, and he's won one playoff game. You know, when the season's on the line and it's 4th and 8 and you got to convert, this dude checks down to a tight end 5 yards short of the sticks. It just, you know, that's Kirk. He will
You're gonna have fun with McCarthy
being Kirk. And JJ McCarthy would have chucked that fucking ball to Jefferson if there were 6 guys on him, or he would have ran for it. He would have tried to make a play. You know,
you have something to be excited about, not have to worry about where are we going to fall apart. Now you have something to have a little bit of hope and excitement. And so it's going to be, you know, I think that's change is always good sometimes. And, you know, I mean, I think with the Vikings, I think JJ McCarthy is going to be a guy you guys are going to be rooting for a while.
I can't wait to see him play. But I am excited to see Darnold start the year because I think Darnold can, you know, this dude was a third overall pick. I was listening to Johnny Manziel, you know, he's a complete fuck.
Johnny Manziel.
But he was on a podcast, so his podcast, and I just heard clips of it. And he was he goes, I'm kind of getting a bit annoyed. He goes, like, everybody is, you know, talking about J.J. McCarthy and in Minnesota. He's like, Sam Darnold is a dog. He's like, this guy can play. And he just never had the chance. And if anybody thinks for 1 second that Darnold's not looking at that Viking team with all those weapons and going,
he's ready to compete for camp. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, this rookie is not going to get in this year. This is my year. And it, you know, I'm fine with that. If Darnold plays good and maybe next year he goes and he gets a contract somewhere and he gets paid, does a little Geno Smith impression, I'm fine with that. Or you bring him back as a backup, depending on how he does. So maybe you guys go get him.
You know, our quarterback, hopefully I'm hoping that, what's his name? Minshew will lead us to the promised land, or at least close to it this year.
You're going to like Gardner Minshew.
I'm excited to see him play.
Yeah. He's the type of dude, like, he's a fiery dude, man. He's not that big, but he's a fiery dude. Like, he's on the sidelines. He's getting everybody fired up. Like, his players will run through a wall for him.
Seems like a guy you would smoke a joint with, though. I was watching his press conference with him, and that dude is, like, totally, like, Keanu Reeves style, laid back.
Yeah, which, you know, maybe he should be playing in for the Chargers.
Exactly, I would take that kid in a second, too, man. Well, that guy, he's not a kid anymore.
No, but he's awesome. Yeah. He's awesome. Your division guy, I think you guys are going to come in second this year. I think, you know, it's going to be tough if Patrick Mahomes.
Taylor Swift will come in first, and then.
Yes. Yeah, she's actually the backup tight end now for Kansas.
Dude, she sold a billion records in a week of her new record. No one has ever done that. I'm not a Taylor Swift fan, but that is absolutely insane. If you think
it is insane,
a billion, not a million, a billion records.
I didn't hear
in
that.
1 week. Yeah, yeah.
Well,
it's insane.
My daughter has tickets to see her in I believe Indianapolis in October. So like her and a couple of friends are flying out there and stuff. Like she's already getting offered like over $2,000 for her tickets. She's like, I just had somebody offer me like, I think she said like 1900 or 2000 for a ticket. And I said, wait, you're a little closer to the show. You probably get $5,000 or $6,000 for it.
It's insane. You know? I mean,
it is insane. She should take over the world, Taylor Swift.
She has already. I mean, like I said, we think of like Michael Jackson and these artists when we were kids. She's outsold. I mean, and she's selling physical product too in a market that's not a physical product anymore. So that's even more impressive.
That's very true. You're right. Yeah, when you know records are obsolete and she's selling them.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's the epitome of, you know, she's selling ice to Eskimos. Like she's that good. You know, but it's pretty impressive. And I can't, you know. Travis Swift will probably have a good season again this year.
Exactly.
But we should just start calling him that.
Taylor won her third Super Bowl this year, so everyone's very excited.
He's trying to go for a three-peat. So, all right.
Let's Chris got to make the donuts. Okay.
Time to make the donuts is right. So, guys, once again, thank you so much for checking us out. We're the Uncle Puckers. For Tony and Chris, we'll see you when we see you.
Peace.